Okay, let us get started with our discussion of summary, overview, and highlights of the first four Prakim of Zvachim. Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Tzadik Tes that if somebody learns and does not review, it's like they put seeds into the ground and they don't harvest. They just start the process, they don't finish the process. So the Gemara tells us that we have to do our best and do everything that we can in order to solidify the information in our brain, especially in an area like Seder Kachim, where it would be a lot of the concepts are new to us, something that we're not so familiar with, and therefore these types of shiurim are really needed and required, and Bezrat Hashem, they will help us crystallize the concepts in our head. This is as well as the when we learn the daf, we should also always have in mind, not just in Kachim, that we want to be kona in the Masechta. We don't want to just go through it and say Yotze Zayin. And the more we structure it and remember in our head, what was this daf about, and what was this, and what's this flow, and how did we get into this topic? We're on this for three daf, and where'd it come from? It's always good to know exactly where we came from, where we are, and where we're going to. So hopefully, if those who are listening out there, if anybody wants to, it's a good idea to have the Gemaras, and there are no sources. There's one source sheet that I sent to have highlighted, but it's not really a source sheet in the regular sense. I will be mentioning as many sources as I could fit into our time slot, but what I gave you is just the highlight of the prakim, just the general structure, because that's what the shiur is being held now, in that the first four prakim of Zvachim is really a unit. The first four prakim are all about problematic thoughts, machshavas psulos, as we've had, sholal lishma and pigel, as we'll talk about. Those are the four prakim by machshavas psulos. The next two prakim that we're up to now, parakei and parak vav, the rest of Zvachim is very structured. It's very structured. Every parak almost is its own topic. Perek Hay and Perek Vav, the next two prakim, are about all the lists of karbanos and the different avodos that they have and how they're different from each other and how they're similar to each other. The next perek, Perek Zayin, is about birds, bird karbanos. Perek Ches is Perek HaTa'aroves, because it's about mixed up and mixtures, and if I get different karbanos mixed up, what do I do? The ninth perek, which we've mentioned a number of times in the past, Perek Tes, is Mizbech Mekadesh HaSaroylo. What happens if a karban goes up, or a piece of a carpet goes up on the Mizbeach? What's the halacha? What if it goes on the ramp? Even if it's pasul, the Mizbeach is Mekadish to someone. The tenth parak is Kol HaTadir. Kol HaTadir is comparing different karbanos. If you have two karbanos to bring, what goes first? If you have this Shrita and this Zrika, tenth and fifth and sixth in that way are similar, in that they're all about comparing and contrasting all the different karbanos. And then the last couple of prakim are also about separate topics. The 11th parak Dam Chatas is all about the special halachas, which we had alluded to once already, about the dam of a karban chatas. If it splashes on a beged, there's a special halachas, what has to be done with the beged, it has to be washed in the azara. That's the 11th parak. The 12th parak is all about the matanos, the different parts of the karbanos that go to the kohen. The 13th is about shchutei chutz, if I do any of the avodas outside the Beis HaMikdash that I'm not allowed to do. And the 14th parak, finishing off the Masechta, is all about Bama. Bama versus Mizbeach, giving, once you talk about in the 13th parak, about problematic avodas bachutz. So when are you allowed to bring a carbon bachutz? And that is on a Bama. That's in the 14th parak. And again, just to review as well, hopefully everything tonight will be review. I don't think there will be a new point made. But just overall, remember the Chafetz Chaim, that he wrote the Hakdama to his edition. He put out a number of the Achronim on Kachim, the Berachat HaZevach, the Son Kachim. It's all in the one volume called the Asifa Sakenim on Seder Kachim. And there he has 12 or 13 Prakim, 12 Prakim, where he talks about the importance of learning Seder Kachim. He says we have to learn all of Torah. But as the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos, the source for Shisha Sidre Mishnah, V'haya Emunah Sitecha Chosin Yeshuas Chachma V'Das, that Pasuk. Every word in the Pasuk refers to another one of the Siddarim. So the word Chachma is Seder Kachim. So there's a certain type of wisdom. So we have to do our best to become wise in this area, especially in that none of it's L'maisa today. So the only way that we can fulfill these mitzvahs, and there are so many mitzvahs related to karbanos, the only way that we can fulfill those mitzvahs, we want to be a good full Jew, l'chadchila Jew, I want to do all the mitzvahs. So how do I do the mitzvahs? It's not about skipping the kachim sugyas, it's about persevering and pushing and trying to kone as many of the topics as we can. And he says, the Chafetz Chaim writes, "Avabemes kol devar reinu." Everything I'm writing here are la anashim acharedim l'dvar Hashem. I'm writing for the people who learn. Shalachasul lehem u'machas v'shalom. They're not lacking anything. V'shomrim kol prat mi prati amitzvah u'machabavim ma'od liman haTorah lehem v'levneim b'chol nashim. Al anashim ke'elo ani omer madu yechzer lehem liman haSeder haKadosh hazeh lagamrei. Why are you skipping the Seder? Why are you skipping Kachim? Baruch Hashem, we have Daf Yomi. If you read my Mamarim, you'll be inspired. And that's where he writes that we have to do our best to learn all of Torah, including this, because Eliyahu HaNavi is only going to tell us the questions that we're left with. He's not going to tell us the basic law. He's going to say, learn Kachim, learn Zvachim. What have you been doing for 2,000 years? You know, you've had all the Gemaras, you've had all the Rambams, so what have you been doing? Waiting for me? No, I'm only telling you what you're not sure about. Not number four shalachas that you have to learn, and then we'll have the questions. Tishbi Yitare, it's only kushis vabayas. He's not answering up our the pashit halachos, and Mashiach Hashem could come at any moment. So therefore, it behooves us to make sure that this is clear in our head. Okay, so let's get into now some of the discussions of what we have had and highlight summaries and remembering what's on each daf. Again, if you have your Gemaras in front of you, it would be a good idea even to just write on top of the Gemara if you are of the ilk of writing on top of your Gemaras, right? If not, yes, we might have some paper. But that is what could be suggested. Okay, here we go. Says the Mishnah on Daf Beis. Remember, we got 40. Not going to figure out how to do 45 blot in less than an hour, but we will do our best. So the Gemara starts off the first Mishnah in the Masechta, really the first Perek. The first parak in Zvachim is about the concept of Shelo Lishma. If I'm doing an avodah of a karban, and I have a wrong thought, I think of a different karban. Shelo Lishma. What about if I have the wrong owner involved? So that is discussed in the Rishonim here. You see the first Tosfos in the Masechta discusses it. What is the relationship between thinking about the wrong owner and thinking about the wrong carbon? Tosa says on top, Avoda Kamaisa Nakat, the Huadin Kabbalah Volach Vazrika. A problematic thought of Shalom Lishma is by all the Avodos, the Dalit Avodos, Shechita Kabbalah Volach Vazrika, but it only says it by Shechita because that's the first one. That is Shitas Tosas. What is the halacha of Shalol Lishma? So remember, the Mishnah Daf Beis tells us that whenever a kohen thinks Shalol Lishma, the halacha is that the carbon is kosher, but it did not count for the owner. The owner has to bring another one. Shalol Olu L'Bayalim Shem Chofa. With two exceptions. Chatas and Pesach Bizmano. Pesach and Erev Pesach, both of those, Chatas and Pesach, have a special need, a special connection to their owner, and therefore they cannot exist independent. They can't be kosher in Lo'olo L'Bayalim, and therefore they're just pasul. Rebbe Lazar says here, as well as he says in many places in Seder Kachim, Asham is with Chatas. Rebbe Eliezer is always the Asham Chatas man. Whatever applies to Chatas applies to Asham, so Asham also is a pasul carpet. The Mishnah Melech that we mentioned because we mentioned everything, but the Mishnah Melech in Chovel Mazik in Perek Zion discusses, the Rambam there says, if a Kohen is mefagel a carbon, if a Kohen makes a carbon piggle, right, he thinks a machshava that he's going to do an achila shel bezmano. We'll get back to that. But a Kohen thinks piggle during an avoda, he's chayef to pay the owner for the carbon. He's chayef to pay, so he's mazik. It's only mazik in his head, but he ended up passing the carbon. So he's mazik. The Mishnah Melech says, l'chora, by these karbanis as well, the kohen should have to be pay also. Well, you're going to tell me there's a difference between pigol and lishma, how they affect the karban? It should be lamaisa, if the bialim have to bring a different karban because you, the kohen, messed up or messed him up, even on purpose, you should have to pay mishum mazik. So that's what he suggests. He says, I don't know why pigol would be different, but that is the Mishnah Melech in Perek Zion of Hilchos Chovel Mazik. The kohenim aren't being paid, but so what? I'm not being paid to go and smash your headlight. I have to pay for it. So if the kohen messes me up, he damages my property. This is damaging my property. You have now mafsed my carbon.
But there's no action.
Like so what? So there's no action. So you messed up my carbon. So what? That's hezek she'inonikar. But still, you should have to pay for it. Says the Rambam. The Rambam says by pigel, the Mishnah Melech assumes that it should apply to lo lishma as well. So that gets the ball rolling. We have other shitas there in the bays. What about if I think that a karban, a shlamim, for example, l'shem pesach, l'shem chatos, there are shitas in this Mishnah that say you don't only go by the karban, but you go by what you thought about the karban. That if you think a karban should be a pesach or a chatos, that's also possible. That was another daya in the Mishnah here. And then there are different opinions about what if you think about a better, a more kadosh carbon, a less kadosh carbon. There are some shittas that say only if you think of a less kadosh carbon would you be chai. The Gemara then went into, what do I say about machshavos, dabez, mabez? The Gemara discusses, what about stoma? This whole Mishnah is all about the topic of shelo lishma, thinking about the wrong carbon. What if I wasn't thinking about any carbon? What if I just did it? The carbon was daydreaming. I wasn't thinking about any carbon. What do we say about stomas? This is one of the sugyas and shas that talk about stoma lishma or stomas shelo lishma. And the Gemara's maskana is about the 10th line down at dabez, mabez, that there's a difference between a woman and a carbon. When it comes to a woman, the get must be written lishma. Why? Because stam isha lav legerish and kaimi. Stam, a woman is not omeid lehisgarish. A woman is omeid to be married. And therefore, to overcome that, the sofer really has to have special kavana lishma in order to create a get, which is going to be the mechanism for divorce. Tosfos even says there, an important Tosfos in Stam Isha, even after the woman was mezaneh, afilu zinsatachas baila, mikol makom lav lehisgarish beget zeh omedes. Even if a woman is mezaneh, and therefore halacha says she must get divorced, the sofer still has to write it l'shem the isha with lishma. Tosfos continues, it's an important Tosfos about gerushin. But the Gemara contrasts that to a carbon. By a carbon, we say, stama lishma. Because what else is this carbon for? This carbon is memela going to be kosher unless you mess up. And therefore, even without specific das, lishma, we assume stama would be lishma. This issue does relate, I'll just foreshadow already, the end of this section of the Masechta, Daf Mem Vav Mebeis, the last Mishnah that we did in the fourth parak, spoke about L'shem Shisha Zvachim, L'shem Shisha Dvarim Hazavach Nizbach, the six machshavas that a Kohen should have. So we discussed there, the Achronim say, are these six machshavas that he should have, or he just shouldn't have the opposite machshavas? So that also relates, we also mentioned that could have been the first Mishnah in the Masechta, because that talks about the good machshavas. The whole first four parakim are about bad machshavas. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi decided first put all the bad machshavas and then write all the good machshava, what you're supposed to have. Get the Sur Merah rid of and then do the Asay Tov. But there, that also relates to the sugya of Stama Lishma. Rav Elchanan, we mentioned this also 2 days ago, Rav Elchanan has a very important shita in, among the other achronim, in Psachim, Kuf Ayin Aleph, where he says, don't get mixed up with the sugya of Stama Lishma and the sugya of Mitzvos Srichos Kavana. We know, we paskin, machlokas in the Tanaim, and the Amoraim, and the Rishonim, and the Poskim, we paskin mitzvah srichas kavana by mitzvah daraisa, but not by mitzvah darabanan. Every mitzvah, you're supposed to try to have kavana, but what if I didn't? So we paskin by daraisa, if I didn't have kavana to do the mitzvah, I just happen to do it without kavana, I'm not yotzei. Midrabanan, I'm yotzei anyway, even without kavana. So ask Rabbi Chanan, ask the other achronim, stama lishma, so aren't mitzvahs stama lishma? Why else am I shaking a lulav? Why does Marek say so? I should say that stama lishma, and therefore mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana. Says Rabbi Chana, no, there's a difference between the sugya of srichas kavana and the sugya of stama lishma. The Gemara does not compare the two. And that is, stama lishma, says Rabbi Chana, and kuf ayin aleph, is always when there's an object involved. There's a chefza involved. Karbon, and get, and tzitzis, asiyah tzitzis. There's always lishma, but lishma ain hadin al ha'adam sheyachavein ela sheyeh ha'davar miyuchad l'shem kach v'heichashu miyuchad me'elav ain tzor kavanas adam klau k'mo kachim d'stama lishma kaimi. But when it comes to mitzvah srichas kavana, hadin hu rak al ha'adam sheyachavein l'shem mitzvah u'bazen nira de lo mahani lomar stama l'shem mitzvah kaima to become akam ha'adam lo kivin l'mitzvah. So there's a difference between going on the gavar or going on the chefsa. That's Rabbi Chanan's chilek between mitzvah srichas kavana and stama lishma. So that's an important Rabbi Chana. Okay, that was got into the lishma sugya. Daf Gimel spoke about different, moving along now, spoke about what types of machshavas are problematic. Is it the closer type of machshava, the worse, or the further type? What if I think l'shem chulin? I don't think a different carbon. So that's the sugya, mina machriv, mina lo machriv. Meaning if it's a closer thought, is that more dangerous or not? That's what was the sugya discussed on Dav Gimel. But finally, then we got to Dav Dalet. Dav Dalet is an important Dav. Dav Dalet introduced us to the Dalet Avodos of Karban Behema. The Gemara quoted different sources. The Gemara required different sources that Shalom Lashma would be a problem in all Dalad Avodos. Shechita, Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika. Shechting, and then catching the blood, and then being molech the blood towards the Mizbeach, and then sprinkling. Or the Dalad Avodos. The Gemara required four, as if to say these are four different Avodos. They're not counted as four different mitzvos, but four different Avodos, and they each accomplish something different. We mentioned the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach writes in Hilchos Karban Pesach that there's a big difference, for example, between the Shechita and the Zrika. Shechita is all about being matir the achila. That's the machus of Shechita. Shechita is matir the carbon for achila. After all, that's what you have to do for a chulin animal. Shechita matirs the achila. So too when it comes to a hektish animal, to a carbon. Shechita matirs the achila. Aye, but you can't eat it yet. But that's not because the ikar matir didn't occur yet. There's still something that you have to do, but really Shechita, by definition, is the matir for achila. Zrika is different. Says the Or Sameach. The mahus of zrika is to bring me close to Hashem. To bring, be mechaper if I did an aveira. That's what zrika is about. V'hi ha-mechaperes, v'hi eina ba'a b'shvel achilas ha-basar. Adaraba, ha-isr kodem zrika nishave misibas shetzorach l'ratzo zod b'zrika. V'hi oseres lo amateres. Imkein, imchashav l'cho, v'chulu. And he talks about it. But that's the Or Sameach and Hilchos Karban Pesach in the second parak. Discussing two of the four avodos, we'll get to others. Two of the four avodos, and that is shechita being the ikar lahatir lachila, while zrika is more of lechaparas. That is the dalad avodos. So brought up all in the middle of dalad amar aleph, the sugya of holacha is brought up, where the Gemara says the possibility that maybe holacha is not a hardcore significant avoda. After all, you can get away without it. Efsha levatla. We're going to have a shita later on in Daf Yud Gimel, Reb Shimon, who says that any thought during halacha is not a problem because you don't have to do halacha. You could just shech next to the mizbeach. So the fact that you could get rid of halacha means it's not such a significant avoda. So the Gemara brought that up here. Halacha might be different than the other avodos. It doesn't even say explicitly in the Torah halacha. The language used is vehikrivu. So what is vehikrivu? And you bring it close. Is that halacha? Is that Kabbalah? You learn it both out from that pasuk, from that word. But again, halacha might be different. Also brought up here on Daf Dalid is what we mentioned on Daf Beis, also Shini Kodesh and Shini Bailam, how the two are connected, that's brought up on the bottom of Dalid Amud Aleph. Moving right along a little bit, the Gemara continued and discussed the Dalid Avodos on Daf Dalid Amud Beis, and then the Gemara on Daf Hei brought up the sugyas of Karban Toda. Karban Toda was brought up a little bit there, and we discussed there, as well as the other times Toda came up later in the parak, how much is a Toda an obligation? Right, a Toda, there's never a chiyuv to bring a Karban Toda. There's a chiyuv to say, Berchas HaGomel, Slav Dafka, that it's the same. Toda is Bab and Adava. It's called the Karban Shlom, it's a Bab and Adava. So we touched on the fact, we'll come back to it later, Bezrat Hashem, on Daf Hey, we touched on the fact that a Toda is brought in certain contexts. Is it mechuyev? Is it not mechuyev? That's a question. Heyamabez, we had a very important machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. The sugya came up, asham shenitak l'ri'iya. What does that mean? We know there's a halacha l'moshe misinai that by five karbanos chatas that lose their connection to the owner. How do you remember what are the five? Vitimna. Vitimna haisa pilegesh. So the Quran say vitimna is the mnemonic to remember. Vitimna stands for vlad chatas, if my chatas has a baby. Tzmuras chatas, if I try to be maimer. Tzmura, the isser of trying to substitute karbanos. I'm maimer, I say this, I want this one, not this one, but that one. Now they're both. They're both have the kedusha of a karban chatas, so tzmuras chatas. So it's vav, tav, vavitim, mem, right? Miskap, right? Vitimna, right? Mem is mace bailim. Right, the owner's died. The owner of the chatas died. Nun niskapra ba'acher. I lost my chatas, so I got another one, and then I found the first one. Niskapra ba'acher. And ayin is avar shnasa. He got too old. Got too old to be a karban. Those five, the halacha is, that's halacha Moshe Misinai. Those five, those are called the chatos mesos. They have to die. We have to let them graze until they die. They cannot be brought as anything. Not brought as anything. That's vitimna. That's the five chatos mesos. So there is another halacha Moshe Misinai connected to that. What does the Gemara say? Kol shebachatas mesa ba'asham ro'eh. If the same five situations happen to a carbon asham. So the halacha is we have to let it graze in the field until it gets a mum. We sell that carbon, and with the money we bring a carbon ola. That's the halacha. Rashi says, and Rav Rishonim say, that that is a din da'oraisa. Mi da'oraisa, in asham, could change it to an ola. Right? Mi da'oraisa. Right? It has asham shenitak l'ri'iya. That comes out right in the middle of Hema base. See where it is? Amar Afuna Amarav. Asham shenitak l'ri'iya. V'shachtu stam. Right? You were menatik it, it went out to graze, and then you shechted it. What's the din? But the Rashi there, among other places in Shas, Rashi says, asham shenitak l'ri'iya is a din da'oraisa. And you have to bring with its money a carbon ola. Rabbeinu Tam there says that that is a din derabanan. Mida oraisa, you could just bring this animal as an ola. That's in Tosas Dibur Maskel Hagah. Look at the third to last line on the Tosasim on the page. V'chi gemiri hachi gemiri. This is really what the halacha Moshe B'Sinai means. Kol shebachatas mesa be'asham karav ola. Dereiya derabananhi. An amazing sheet. Rabbeinu Tam holds mita oraisa. The asham automatically could switch into an ola once it's no longer fit to be an asham. Rov Rishonim say no. You have to bring with it. Have to sell it. To bring with the money. It can't change it to an asham. Can't change it to an ola.
Once they let it roam off in the field, doesn't it get a moon? How can it be used for an ola if it has a moon?
It cannot. No, you sell it. Right, Rabbeinu Tam says, Mida oraisa this carbon right now, before it gets a mum, could be hukrav as an ola. But we don't do that. We wait till it gets a mum, and then it's sold, and we bring with the money an ola. Rabbeinu Tam says, that's all dindra rabbanan. It's all dindra rabbanan. So that's an important machlokes about the relationship between all the carbonas. Asham closer to chatas, asham closer to ola. That is in a machlokes to be aware of. Okay? Good, and we continue. Again, this is all based on that first Mishnah of Shlol Lishma. We talk about the different karbanas. Then, carbon ola came up on Daf Vav. Carbon ola comes up also on Daf Zayin, a little bit more, where ola is discussed. What is ola? What's the purpose of an ola? On Daf Vav and Daf Zayin. So, Chatas, we know, comes for many, many averus. Asham comes for a certain type of averus. Me'ilos, gezelos, shivcha, charufa. What does an ola come for? So Pashas ola is an adava. It's a present. But on Dav Zayin Abayz, Rava says the important line, V'yama Rava, about 12 lines down, ola doronhi. Ola is a present. You get the impression that it is a total present. It's totally voluntary. But the Gemara is clear that ola is also mechaper a little bit. Ola is mechaper for bitul aseis. If I don't do an asay, ola is mechaper for that. Or a lav hanitik lasay. Or I'm not getting malchus. So ola is mechaper, but it's not really such a known as a mechaper carbon. Throughout the Mesechta, it's not known as a mechaper. It's known more as a doron, a present, voluntary. It's all hukar b'lakadosh baruch hu. But that is something to be aware of. The sugi of ola, I don't think we ever had a shir on it. Maybe we will. Related to ola, how much of it is it obligatory, because really it's not, even though it is somewhat of a mechaper. Vayter. Dav Zayin also, that's where the main sugyas of Toda were, that we mentioned before. Toda, we mentioned just to remind us of the beautiful Yad Ephraim. The Yad Ephraim in the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Aleph in Shulchan Aruch, where the Yad Ephraim points out, why do we say Mizbeach HaSoda every day? So everybody has to bring a carbon toda every day. Every day we're getting out of jail and going over the sea. And there are some people who are traveling. Maybe it's more than others. But says the Yad Ephraim, V'toda bechlau k'de'isa bezvachim, toda ikri shlamim. V'yaf agav de'toda hu al neis, mikol makom, af belo neis misnadvin. De'neis b'kol yoma isa. Every day's a neis. We wake up in the morning, it's a neis. Says the Yad Ephraim, we say a carbon toda every morning. We say Mizbeach HaSoda as a zecher to the carbon toda, because every day could be looked at as a nes. Let's try to have that kavana when we say Mizbeach HaSoda. Okay, so that's the Gemara discuss on Daf Zayin. Carbon toda, spoke about the lachmei toda a little bit. We mentioned then that most carbonos, almost all carbonos, are just brought by themselves. The carbon is brought. Some carbonos have nesachim that go with it, some wine that's brought, some frankincense that's brought, but most are not, except for toda. Toda and the nazir have to bring certain amount of loaves with it. The carbon toda is brought with 40 loaves. 10 of them are chametz, 30 of them are matzah, four different types. 10, 10, 10, 10. You give one of them to the Kohen, and the rest of the 36 has to be eaten by the owner or the owner's friends. There's a very short time to eat it. Karban Torah that you only have that night, unlike with the other types of Karban Shlamim, where you have day, night, day, you have an extra day. Karban Torah, small amount of time to eat it, a lot to eat, says the Netziv. Why? Because the point of a Karban Torah is to publicize, to be mafarsim to everybody. Hashem loves me, Hashem did this for me, I want to thank Him so much. So that's why the Torah forces us to have so much and have so little time to eat it, and we don't want it to be left over, we don't want it to become noser. So that is why we're forced to publicize that a Kadosh Baruch Hu helped me out. Okay, that takes us, Daf Vav, Daf Zayin, Karban Torah. Daf Ches takes us into other Karbanos. Pesach, Zayin Mebeis, it starts. Pesach Minalan, right? The Gemara asks on Daf Zayin Mebeis, how do we know that Pesach is like Chatas? Those are the only two exceptions to the rule. If I shech the Karban Shalo Lishma, if it's Erev Pesach, and I shech the Karban Pesach, L'shem, something else, it's Pasul. So, the uniqueness of a Karban Pesach we went into. So then we discussed what about Moser Pesach? What's the status of a leftover Karban Pesach? That is not a Pesach anymore. If I have a Karban Pesach after Pesach, that automatically turns into a Karban Shlamim. What's the relationship between Pesach and Meiser and Bechor, all the least Kadosh animals, the low-level Kache Kachim, what we see at the end of Ezeo Makoman, right? All the ones that have very few Zrikas. So that is discussed in the Ches and Daftes area, all about Pesach. Okay, touched on a little piggle there, but we're not going to get to that yet, because I will get to the main sugyas of piggle. Daf Yud Aleph, let's go to now. On Daf Yud Aleph, Karban Mincha was brought up for the first time. Karban Mincha, which is the flour carbon, flour, oil, frankincense. We mentioned there two very important shitas of the Achronim. Why is there a difference? That there is a difference between the Kedusha of a carbon mincha and the Kedusha of a behema. We mentioned from the Briskarav that in the Hakdasha itself there is a difference. The Griz, all the way at the end of the Sefer on the Rambam. The Griz says, Vadai, Eina davar toli bazeh, im srichem en klishari simlo, elo be'ikar din chilukin heim zemizeh. His problem is that the flour, what happens, but what are the avodas for the flour? Just like a behema has the dalat avodas, shchita kabbalah holachas rika, flour also, what do? We have the kemitza. The kemitza where we put the coin, puts his hand into the flour and rubs off the outer fingers and takes what's under his three fingers and puts that into a special kli. That's the hakdasha of the mincha, and then you carry that over and you burn it on the mizbeach. So the question that the Achronim ask is, why isn't it kadosh right when you are makdash it? If I'm makdash my animal in my backyard, it's kadosh already. So what about a mincha? I have to dafka do the kemitza and put it into a kli? Says the Briskarav, yes. Zizu kadushas haguf shelo al yedei din kadushas peh. By an animal, it's the Briskarav describes what Rav Meir Simcha does. Is really give an explanation. The Briskarav says, "By when I'm makdash an animal, I imbue in it kedushas haguf, inherent kedusha. By menachas and shar dvarim, I don't do that. I just give it kedushas damim. Its value now it belongs to the base of mikdash, but it's not that it has inherent kedusha. That's only achieved by when it's in the kli. That's what the Briskarav says. So it's a difference in the chalos shame kedushas haguf." But why is that? That's where Meir Simcha says beautifully, because by an animal, it's all one item. It's all connected to each other. So if I'm makdash it, okay, I'm makdash this one item. Flour, it's all pieces. It's all what the Gemara later on, we had the word called mifras. So what binds it all together as a unit, as something that's going to go to the base of Mikdash? Only once it's in the Kli. If I dafka, take the kemitza and put it into the Kli, so that causes its Kedushas Haguf to now kick in. So that was Rav Meir Simcha in the Tshuvas and the Briskarav at the end of a Sefer Al HaRamba. Good. Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We then got into the second Mishnah of the Masechta, where we had a fascinating Machlokas. What does it mean, Pesach Bizmano? What is the Zman of the Karban Pesach? So for sure, it's Erev Pesach afternoon. What about in the morning? If I shecht the Karban Pesach in the morning, Shelo Lishma, is that possible or not? That's a Machlokas Tanom we had. One Tana says, of course not. That's not the Zman of the Karban Pesach yet. It's only in the afternoon. The other Tana says, no, even in the morning. Why? So first day of the Gemara, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, was that, because he holds even a Karban Pesach can be brought in the morning. But we reject that. That's not true. You can't bring a Karban Pesach in the morning. So we end up saying that no, even though you can't do the mitzvah of Karban Pesach yet, it's still considered enough bismano because this is the day that you're going to bring the Karan Pesach. And we said that is a beautiful example of a chefza shel mitzvah that could exist even before you could actually do the mitzvah. Lulav might be called a lulav when sukkah starts, even though you can't shake it until the next morning. Shofar might be called a shofar right when Rosh Hashanah starts. A baby might be called an arel leil ches, even though you can't do the bris milah until the next day. But this is an example of that concept of a chefza shel mitzvah, possibly, according to one Tana, even before you get to do the mitzvah. And the Gemara continues and discusses those shittos. Good. Then we have the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel, where the Mishnah described that these machshavos of shelo lishma, that's really the topic of the first parak, these machshavos apply in any avoda. In any avoda. Even if I have perfect thoughts in the other avodos, if I think shelo lishma in one of the avodas, by Pesach and Chatas and Pasos. And that's where Reb Shimon is quoted, not halacha. Halacha is different. Halacha is not really a significant avoda because you could get away without it. That was the avoda. Then Gemara went into what about other parts of the avoda? What about on Daf Yud Gimel on the base? We went into the discussion of tevilas etzba. When a kohen brings a carbon chatas, that's where we discuss this. The zrikos of a carbon chatas are different than the zrikos of the other karbanas in a number of ways. Let's say chatas versus ola shlamim and asham even. A chatas is unique. First of all, a chatas behema is done above the chutas sikra, above the red line that broke the mizbeach in half, horizontally, above, all other karbanos were sprinkled below. Not only was chatas above, but chatas was on the corners, on the kronos. And not only that, it had four. All other karbanos at most have two. Two sprinklings on the two opposite corners, so it sprinkles onto all four. A chatas is the only one that has it on top. Next, so number one, so what did we say already? It's different in that it's above the chutas sikra, and it's on the corners, that's like one difference. Number two, it has four, not two or one. Number three, it's not done with a kli. You can't just take the kli and fling the blood from the kli. The Kohen has to dip his finger in, and then take his finger out, that's called tevilas etzba, and then mark it on the chronos of the mizbeach. So that was where we discussed the uniqueness of the tefila, the zrikos of the carbon chatas. But we said there, is that an avoda, tefilas etzba? Is that called an avoda? That was the discussion on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, l'may nafkamina, if I have a problematic thought during that tefilas etzba, would I say that is a problem or not? That's where we discussed that. Finally, the last main sugya in the first parak, before Daf Tezvav again spoke about halacha, but in Yud Dalet Amud Beis, we had the important line, which I still owe you a shir on, tenth line or so, shchita lav avodahi. Shchita lav avodahi, that's shchita, in a certain sense, is not a bona fide avoda. Why not? Rashi here says, because anybody could do shchita, even a czar, even a apostle person. That shows it's not an avoda. Is that a siman or a siba, as the Achbanim call it? Is that the reason? Because a czar could do it, therefore he makes it not an avoda, or is that a reflection? So that's a question which hopefully we'll have to deal with. That's Rashi. Tosfos here quotes a number of other opinions, arguing with Rashi. No, that's not the reason why it's lav avoda. Maybe it's lav avoda because the Kohen doesn't have to be standing in the north or in the Azara when he does it. Maybe it's lav avoda because it's the same avoda that's done by Chulin. So maybe regarding that, it's lav avoda. So there are a number of reasons given why Shchita is different, which hopefully we'll get to discuss deeper at a certain point, right? And then the Gemara, the parak ended off with the sugyas of halacha, a halacha shelo beregel. It does that count as a halacha? I just move my body from one side to the other side. What is that considered? And other machshavas during the avoda of halacha. Okay, so these are some of the ideas from the first parak. But again, it is the shelo lishma parak. Shelo lishma parak. All four prakim are about problematic machshavos, but that was shelo lishma parak. The second parak presented a great opportunity to analyze various ideas in Kachim, in that it had a list. It had a list. The first Mishnah in the second parak are all these people cannot do Kabbalah Saddam, or cannot do Zrika Saddam. All these people are puzzled. And the Gemara went into every one of them. So the whole parak, the whole first part of the parak, we got to discuss all of these psulim. If you remember, the third parak started off with all these people, the same people are listed, almost all the same people, are kosher to Shecht. Right? That's the first Mishnah in the third parak. Here, this Mishnah is called Zacham Shekiblu Daman. They're going to be Pasul. The third parak, which is on Lamed Hey, where is it? Third parak, Lamed Alvam Beis, Kolapsulim Sheshachtu, they're kosher. right? So that's the second and the third parak. They start off with mishnayos that complement or are opposite of each other. So all these people are possible. A zar, an onen, tful yom. So anytime you want to know about any of these psulim, the sources are right here in front of us. The first, the Gemara discussed the issue of zar, and then it discussed the issue of who is a zar. So to put it all together, a zar is a non-male, dressed, washed Kohen. Or maybe not drunk either. But a lot of the psulim, as we will see, fascinatingly, the Gemara said, if you're pasul like this, then you're a zar. Meaning, even a female Kohen is considered a zar. Or if a Kohen didn't wash his hands properly, maybe he's considered a zar. Or, what we discussed at length, and that is on the Yud Zayin Mabez, and that is Mechusar Begadim. If a Kohen is not wearing his Begadim, he is a Zar. That's the great line, six lines from the bottom. Bizman she Begdeyim Aleyim Kuhunasam Aleyim, Ein Begdeyim Aleyim Ein Kuhunasam Aleyim. If they're not wearing their Begadim, they are not Kohanim. What does that mean? A Kohen Duchens today, right? A Kohen has to wear the Begadim to eat Truma? No. So there's difference. There's a Kohen Lagabe, the base of Migdash. There's a Kohen outside the Beis HaMikdash, but in the Beis HaMikdash, if he's not wearing the Begadim, he's somewhat not a Kohen. And we discussed the Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban in Mitzvah Lam and Gimel, whether Beit HaKahuna is counted as a separate mitzvah or not.
Is the Kohen allowed in the Beis HaMikdash?
Is a Kohen allowed in the Beis HaMikdash if he's not doing the Avodah? Certain places. Certain places he gets too close in, he's got to wear the Begadim. But he can only go in. Certain places, if he's not doing Avodah, he's not allowed to go in, period, even with Begadim. But that's called Bi'ur Eikonos, which came up a little later. But though we have the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether it's a mitzvah, it's counted as a separate mitzvah or not. We have the Tuesday night shiur relating to whether Big De Kahuna, we have two of them, whether the Big De Begadim or more of it did in the Kohen or it did in the Avoda. Is it maybe it did in the Begadim themselves, we suggested, according to the Rambam. But this was the important sugya of Mechusar Begadim. And the next two blot discussed, what if he's wearing extra Begadim? What if his Begadim don't fit him properly? What if he has a stain in the Begadim? What if the Gemara and Daf Yutes discuss, what about chatzitza by Begadim? What if the air blows his Begadim out and he does the Avoda? Is air a chatzitza? Right, all these different discussions came up. Along these lines of Daf Yutes and Aleph on the bottom, tefillin came up. How does a Kohen wear tefillin? If you remember that sugya, we discussed chatzitzas by tefillin. Could he wear his tefillin outside his michnas, outside his ketones, his shirt, inside his ketones? Mimanavshach is going to be a problem. What does he do? So we end up saying that he doesn't wear the shal yad. He only wears the shal rosh. Only wears the shal rosh. But is the shal rosh above the tzitz, under the tzitz? So we said it has more kedusha than the tzitz. So he wears it above the tzitz, but under his hat, under the mibas. But that was l'maskana what we said. But tefillin came up here because we spoke about a kohen's chiyuv to wear the begadim. They have to be perfect. He can't be worn in a place where he gets sweated up. But this was all the sugyas of mechusar begadim. Then, on Yud Tesama Beis, came the next psul of the Mishnah, and that is washing one's hands. We mentioned the mitzvah d'oraisa, counted as a separate mitzvah by the Rambam, is the kiyar. The Kohanim have to wash their hands and their feet before they do the avoda every morning. From the kiyar, which was located west of the Mizbeach, between the Mizbeach Achitzon and the Heichal, that's where the kiyar was, he has to go every morning, and if he does not, he's chayiv misa. So that was the sugya of Yud Tesama Beis. How do we know that? How many times does he have to do it? How does he wash? Does he put his hands on his feet? Or he put them all together once? Or once put the right hand on the right foot or the left hand on the left foot? Or you do it all together? That was discussed in Daf Yud Tes Mabez. All the halachas about washing one's hands and Mechusar Begadim. The next couple of blot said, what ruins washing? What about if he washed one day and he was up all night? Or if he had the night shift in the Beis HaMikdash. Does he have to wash again in the morning? What happens if it went outside the Beis HaMikdash? Does he have to wash again? What if he became Tamei? Does he have to wash again? That was these two blot. Does Yotzei and Tamei and Amud HaShachar, do all of those ruin the washing of the Kohen's hands? Along the way, on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, along the way was a machlokes, which came up again later, but it's important to mention it now, and that is, when we say kachi kachim, we just learned yesterday, kachi kachim have to be shechted on the north side of the Azara. What does north mean? Does that mean north of the Mizbeach only, due north? Does that mean due north and northwest? Because the more west you get, the more holy it is. So if you could do it north, straight north, it's the northwest also. Or even northeast, right? As you get further away from the Kodesh Kodashim. That was a three-way machlokas that was quoted here on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. But this is all the sugyas of Rachos Yadayim Raglayim. We also quoted the Mishnah in Yuma on Daf Chaf, which spoke about the pulley system that was in place, so the kiyar doesn't become nifsal overnight. They lowered the kiyar every night into Mayim Chaim, into running water underneath the Beis HaMikdash, and every morning they brought it up again. Okay, that was Daf Yutes, that was Daf Chaf. How much water does a kiyar have to hold? Daf Chaf Aleph. We got into other cases of could the Kohen jump into the kiyar and wash his hands that way. These are all the details discussed in these dafim. Interesting point that we made on Daf Chav Beis, which is still about the kiyar and Rechitzas Yadayim V'Raglayim. What about washing one's hands in a large fish whose eyeball dissolved? If you remember that. On Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. So the Gemara said, yeah, of course, because if you have anything that's Nivra Min HaMayim, it's considered Mayim. So we discussed then, is anything Nivra Min HaMayim? We discussed in Shtanu Ativim, if Chazal believed, or seemed to believe, in certain types of realities. If they believed in spontaneous generation, if they believed, so what do we say about that? What if they believed in that the water got warmer overnight in the oceans because the sun went underneath the ocean? All of these Messias we discussed then, that was on Daf Chav Beis related to Rachutz Yadayim V'Raglayim. Okay, weiter. Chav Beis Mabeis brought up Tamei. That was the next one in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if a Tamei does the Kabbalah Adam, then he passes the Avoda. So the next blot and a half discussed the Shita of the Ziknei Darom. There's a Canaan of the south. They put a major limit on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is only about Tumas Sheretz. Somebody comes tummy from a sheretz, but if somebody comes tummy mace, kosher. Why? Because tummy mace, we know it's kosher by tuma hucha b'tzibur. So therefore, they said, you know, it's that wouldn't pass the avoda. And we had a blot and a half discussing tuma v'tara, and we ended up rejecting the ziknei darum. And even if somebody's tummy mace, the avoda is going to be pasul. That was tuma. Again, if somebody in this second paragraph, if you're ever bored, just wait a blot, because a new psul is going to be described. Chav Gimel Amud Beis, we were brought up the sugya of Yoshev. A kohen has to be standing when it does the avoda. If he's sitting down, that's a problem. We discussed there, is a kohen ever allowed to sit down in the Beis HaMikdash? Right? Ein yeshiva bazara el malchi beis avod belvad. We think the kahanim own the Beis HaMikdash. They can't sit down. Only David HaMelech can sit down. And his family. Where does that apply to? Is that a din d'oraisa? Is that a din d'rabbanan? That was a machlokas maybe between Rashi and Tosfos. But that was discussed here in the psul of Yoshev. Chav dalet amud aleph. We had the crucial line. Who sanctified the Beis HaMikdash? This was a Shabbos daf. So we didn't get to discuss it in detail. But right in the middle of Daf Chav Dalet, the Gemara speaks about what if a stone of the Azara floor got dislodged and the Kohen is standing on the untiled ground. So is that okay or not? And the suffix is, when David sanctified the Beis HaMikdash, did he just sanctify the upper layer or did he sanctify it all the way down to the belly of the globe? So the Tosfos says, what do you mean, David HaMelech? Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, not David. So the Gemara says, no. The language of the Gemara is David Mekadesh HaRitzpah. David sanctified it. He didn't build it, but he instilled sanctity in it, even though he didn't build it. But that was related to the sugya of Yoshev and Omed. Right. So if it was saying, if he did it all the way down, then it would already be sanctified, and it wouldn't be a problem. So that was on Daf Chav Dalet. We had an important shita about David HaMelech. Good. Then we got into the next Mishnah, Daf Chav Hei. Daf Chav Hei discussed that if I catch the blood, if I do Kabbalas Adam, and then the dam spills on the floor, I could pick it up and continue the process. But if it goes straight from the neck of the animal, Chav Hei Amud Aleph, if it goes straight from the neck of the animal to the floor, boom, it's pasul. So we discussed then, Kabbalas Adam. Is Kabbalah, should it be looked at? The Mikdash David discussed and others. Should Kabbalah be looked at as a Sof Shchita? Or a Tchilas Zrika. If we could group the Avodos of the Behema, where would we put Kabbalah? Okay, they're all separate. But if we would try Kabbalah, so this Mishnah says Kabbalah's got to be right after Shechita. If it goes to the floor, that's it. It's Kabbalah, by definition, has to be straight from the neck of the animal, so that might link it to the Shechita more than linking it just as a step before we do the Zrika. So Daf Chav Hei talks about a psul, a problem in the Kabbalah, if it went straight to the floor. The Gemara also there said which blood has to be caught, only Dam Nefesh, blood that the animal's soul goes out with, not Dam Tamsis, which comes out later, and not Dam Or, which comes out before the animal is about to die. We should try to catch the whole blood, right? All the, as much of the blood as we can. So Shikabal is called Domo. The Gemara said on Daf Chafei, as much as we can. What's left over would be spilled down on the Mizbeach in the Avoda called Shvichas Shirayim. And how else are we supposed to do what the Gemara describes? We're supposed to hold the neck of the animal right above the pail, so it goes straight into the Mizrach. What happens if Chavhema Beis, if it went over the pail, and then as it's in midair, the bottom of the pail breaks? So do we say it's as if it was in the bottom of the pail already, so if it goes on the floor you can pick it up, or not? So that was the discussion on Daf Chafei Mebeis. Do you say Dovar that Sofa Lanuach, is it considered Kumunach Dami or not? So that was a psul. So Daf Chafei was about problematic Kabbalah issues and good Kabbalah issues. Daf Chavav brought up, what about problematic Zrika issues? Chavav ben Aleph, all the way at the bottom. What if I did the Zrika in the wrong spot? I'd Zorik the Dam on the ramp. Or I Zorik the Dam, what it's supposed to be above, below, below, above. In all those cases, the Mishnah says, Pasul. Mishnah says, Pasul. What does Pasul mean? So we had 2 days, Chavav and Beis, Chav Zayin and Aleph. Does Pasul mean that you cannot eat it, but the Bialim get a kapara, or totally Pasul? This was the sugya of Shelo Bimkomo, Kimkomo Dami, or not. If the Zrika, if the blood gets to the Mizbeach, is it B'dievet okay? Do we say it's okay? Okay, you didn't do it fully. Or do we say no? What are you talking about? It's like you did it on the floor. Shlobim komo kim komo dummy or not? That was brought up here on Daf Chavav. So again, Daf Chavhei, the first parak was Shalom Lishma thoughts. This parak is about problems during the avoda. But we're going to get into Machshavas, right? If the first Mishnah was about people who cannot do the Kabbalah, then we have a problematic Kabbalah, then a problematic Zrika, and then Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Pigul starts. Pigul is the second half of the second parak. Pigul is the second half of the third parak. Pigul is the second half of the fourth parak. So why did Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi do it this way? I'm not sure exactly, but Pigul is in the second half of all of these prakim. So Pigul is introduced on the Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Pigul is where I do an avoda, an earlier avoda, al menas, that I'm going to do a later avoda after the specific time. What later avoda? So this we learned back in the first paragraph. Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Rashi says, Pigul is when I think about in achila. Achilas Mizbeach or in achilas Adam. If I think that I'm going to do the Zrikas Adam after the proper time, or I'm going to eat the carbon after the proper time, or even pour the extra blood after the proper time, all of that can create pigul. We had a discussion later, I'll mention it now, from the Ola Shlomo, maybe even the Chataos Pnimios have a concept of pigul, even though there's no real achila, I'm just sprinkling the blood towards the paroches. Is that called an achilas mizbeach? So we had, according to Tosas, according to later on, it could be that it is. But either way, this is pigul, is introduced, the thought, that type of thoughts pigul are, and how it relates to thoughts that are similar to pigul but aren't exactly pigul, chutzlim komo. I think I'm going to do it in the wrong spot, not in the wrong time. That is from Chav Zayin Amud Beis. It's introduced. The sources are given to us, and that takes us to the end of the parak. Because Chav Tesam Beis speaks about, if you think about pigul at any point during the avoda, that already makes it pigul. You don't have to think about anything else. You don't have to think about pigul during the rest of the avoda, but you cannot have any other problematic thoughts. That's also a rule of pigul. We learned on Chav Tesam Beis. We learned about the fifth to last skinny line. Ubilvad sheyakriv hamatir kemitzvaso. As long as the rest of the avodah is perfect, pigul requires perfection besides its mistake. Besides its mistake, that's what pigul requires. Yakriv hamatir kemitzvaso. Any other problematic thought means that it is not going to be pigul. Good. Then we got into other issues related to pigul, but that took us to the end of the parak on Daf Lamed Aleph and Mabes. Third parak goes away from pigul. The beginning of the second parak didn't start with pigul. Beginning of the third parak parallels the beginning of the second parak. Beginning of the third parak is about shchita. Shchita. Who could do shchita? So all those people who are possible to do Kabbalah Halacha Zrika are kosher to do shchita. This also relates to the sugya of shchita lavavoda. Even says the Mishnah, women. Women can do shchita. So we discuss then. Tosfos here discusses, what about chulin animals? Could a woman do shchita? That's the first halacha in Yaradeya. Shulchan Aruch says, hakol k'sherim lishchot l'chadchila afilu nashim, even women. Says the Ramah, yeshomim, that you shouldn't do it. V'chein ha-minag. Why? Because there's a shita of the Sefer Eretz Yisrael, Hilchaz Eretz Yisrael, which is quoted right here in this first Tosfos in the in the parak. But this is the sugya, why women don't do it, we discussed there, what about the bracha? But all of these people, the Gemara says, kin shachti v'lechadchila, a zar, an isha, an eved, the only one who can't shach l'chadchila is a tameh. A tameh can't shach l'chadchila because we're worried that that person will be metameh the animal. But we say that all these people can do the shechting l'chadchila, and therefore, because they can do the avoda, their thoughts would mess up the avoda. The continuation of the Mishnah discussed, but Kabbalah Saddam, if these people try to do Kabbalah Saddam, they're going to passel, so therefore you got to make sure that a kosher person comes to the rescue and fixes any problem that the passel created. Okay, that was the Shechita. D'laf Lamed Beis, we came and we mentioned, I think for the first time, the sugya of Smicha. We have the Dalet Avodos, Shechita Kabbalah Holacha Zrika, but then we have quasi-Avodos, acts that aren't part of the Dalet Avodos, but they're also, they're not Ma'akev, but they're also done. Smicha is one of them. The Gemara on D'laf Lamed Beis spoke about the sugya of Smicha in proximity to Shechita, take of Smicha Shechita, which also came up later. We mentioned the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Maaser Karbanos, Paragimel. What happens during smicha? The Bailam leans on the animal and does vidui. If it's a chatas, if it's an asham, if it's an ola, even shlamim, smicha is done, says the Rambam, and you just praise Hashem. For whatever the reason that you're bringing the karmi shlamim, it is accompanied with divrei shevach. So that is smicha that comes up after shechita. Then the next sugi that came up, when we spoke on daf lamed beis, amid beis, once we're talking about a tame person or other people doing the shechita, where are they standing? Maybe they're standing close by to the Beis HaMikdash. So a tame person can shech b'dieved, but where is he? So Ula says, in the name of Reish Lakish, l'mabeis m'beis, if a tame even sticks his hand into the azara, he gets malchus. So these two blot discuss this sugya of bia b'miksas, partial entering, if I stick my hand into the Beis HaMikdash. A mitzora, how does a mitzora become tahar? He can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, but he's got to get sprinkled on. Where does he stand? He stands at the doorway. Does the doorway have Kedusha or not? This was a sugya of sticking my hand into the kotel, putting little kvitlach into the kotel. Bia b'miksas, this was Daf Lamed Beis, this was Daf Lamed Gimel. We have the important tosfos in Yevamos Daf Zayin and Beis, which the Achronim discussed. When we say bia b'miksas shma bia, does that mean that I'm in? It's as if my whole body's in? Or no? For certain halachas, it's called an entrance, but you're not totally in. That was Kovetz Ha'aretz, if you want to look it up again, in Simin Yutes. That was related to Atame entering in. Okay, then the Gemara continues just to try to figure out some of the highlights and remember some of the concepts. That's what this Chazar is for, to remember the concepts. Daf Lamed Daled, we discussed the sugya of Chibas HaKodesh. The Gemara there brought up, still talking about a Tame person, if a Tame person eats, or if I eat when a piece of wood from the Beis HaMikdash. Why would I be eating a piece of wood? It's not edible. But let's say I ate a piece of wood. Let's say I ate frankincense, which is spices. But they're usually inedible. But if I eat them when they're tameh, so according to certain shitas, I'm chayiv karis. But they're not edible. So where do they get a shem ochel from? So we mentioned from the Rishonim, that's the concept of chibas hakodesh. In the Beis HaMikdash, you're allowed to break certain rules. Let it break certain rules. Even though something doesn't have the status of a food, because you love the Beis HaMikdash so much, you love the Karbanah so much, we give it the status of a food. And the Minchas Chinuch, if you remember, in Kuf Mem Hei, spoke about two types of Chibas HaKodesh. The one that makes a non-food food, and number two, the one that makes an item that cannot become Tameh, because it wasn't Hukshar L'Kabel Tumah yet. It didn't become wet from one of the seven liquids. It's as if it got wet. And the Minchas Chinuch discusses those are two different Chibas HaKodeshes. One might be the Oraisa, one might be the Rabbanan. To give something the status of food, that's somewhat easy. If you eat it, it's called food. To say it's Hukshar L'Kabel Tumah, it didn't become wet. If it didn't become wet, how can you say that it could become Tameh? But those are the two types, important Minchas Chinuch, in Mitzvah Kuf Mem Hei, related to the sugya of Chibas HaKodesh. Chibas HaKodesh. That, again, is the beginning of the third parak. Once we get to Daf Lamed Hei, back to Pigel. Again, Pigel overtakes the end of the second, third, and fourth parak in this Masechta. So it shouldn't be a blur. We should know exactly where it came up. So the second half gets back to Pigel. It talks about, what if I think about Pigel, about inedible items? Is there still an Isser of Pigel? What if it's too small of an item? What if it's not an Iker part of the animal? If it's just the eggs, if it's just the skin, if it's just the embryo? Well, that's all the sugyas on the brought up at Daf Lamed Hamad Aleph. It's all the sugyas of pickle. Related to that, on Lamed Hamad Beis, we discuss what about if I don't think about I'm going to do something with it lachar zmano, but I think I'm just going to leave it over. Machsheves hinuach. That was a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda said that's also pasul, similar to pigol, but not exactly. The chamer machshir, because that's nothing. You didn't think you were going to do anything. Thinking not to do something is not a problematic thought. It's only thinking to do something problematic is what is a problem. Okay, and then you just have the important line at the end of that Mishnah, Alamed Vavam and Aleph, She'ein machshava poselis ela v'chutz l'zmano v'chutz l'mkomo v'pesa v'chadash lo l'shman. Right? Machshev is hinuach. Just leaving it over is not a problematic thought. What are the problematic thoughts? Shalom l'shma, pigo, and shalom b'mkomo. Pigo meaning shalom b'zman. Okay, that takes us to the fourth parak. That takes us into the fourth parak, which discusses in the beginning, okay, I can switch volumes, that takes us in the beginning to Zrikos Hadam. How many Zrikos are ma'akev? Interesting that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi did not choose to start off the Masechta with the fifth and the sixth parak. Just tell us what the Karbanos are first. Then tell us about Machshavas. Why did he talk about Machshavas? Maybe because Machshavas plays such a central role by Karbanos. But here we have in the first Mishnah, in the fourth parak, how many Matanos, how many Zrikos do you need at least b'di'evan? How many do you need l'chathila? That's come up derech Aga, but it's listed b'feirish in the fifth parak. But these are the Matanos le'ikuva, machloka b'shamay b'sila. We did mention when we did this Mishnah that each of the Mizbeachs that are discussed, each of the Mizbeach has three names. The outer Mizbeach has Mizbeach HaChitzon, Mizbeach HaNechoshes, and Mizbeach HaOla. Three names, just like the inner Mizbeach has three names, Mizbeach HaZahav, Mizbeach HaKtores, and Mizbeach HaPanimi. Each name is used based on the context that you are trying to figure out. So that's the Mishnah quoted, how many Zerikas you need with the Eved. Beis Hillel says only one, by the outer Karbanos, Beis Shammai says two, while the inner Karbanos, every Zerikas Ma'akev. Right? Every Zerikas Ma'akev by the inner Karbanos. The Gemara went into on Daf Lamed Zayin, how do you know this? What's the source? And the Gemara got into on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Mabez, the basis, Beisham Beis Hillel, is the Sugya, also from Sanhedrin, Yesh Eim LaMikra, Yesh Eim LaMesoris. Do we go by how we read certain words in the Torah or how they are written? Because sometimes they're read as a plural, even if they're written as a singular. That's the basis for the machlokah between Beisham and Beis Hillel. Even just to remind us of one of them, we have the same issue by Tfilin. It says l'totafas, but we read it l'totafos. Right, so that's the Gemara talks about. How do we know then that you're supposed to have four boxes in our tefillin, shel rosh, maybe just two, maybe we should need even more, six boxes, l'totafas, more or less. That was brought up there. We spoke about, no, maybe because totafos is really an African word. Tat b'afrikishtayim and pas b'afrikishtayim. What do you mean? African is in the Torah? So we mentioned the Achronim. All languages really come from Lashon HaKodesh. Everything comes from the Torah. But that is the sugya of Yesh Eim LaMikra, Yesh Eim LaMesoris. That took us over to Daf Lamed Ches. Daf Lamed Tes we spoke about. There was a principle quoted on Daf Lamed Tes that only, fifth line, only an avoda that's ma'akev kapara, is machshava going to be significant in those avodos? Meaning if an avoda is not needed, then if whatever you think about it during that avoda is not going to be so important. So that line was the basis for last week's Tuesday night shiur, the minimal maximal way of doing mitzvos, because there seem to be certain exceptions to that rule. So he said, maybe that's just because you expanded the definition of those avodos. That was that. On Daf Lamed Tes. Daf Lamed Tes afterwards got into the second half of the Mishnah, that every zrika of echatas pnimi that's brought inside the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Heichal, is going to be ma'akev. So what are those karbanos? So we went into the five chatos pnimios. Another yisod we have to learn. What are the five chatos pnimios? So we have the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. That's brought up when Bezdin makes a mistake. That's what all Maseches Harius was about. Number two, the beginning of Maseches Harius. Par Kohen Gadol, when the Kohen Gadol does an Aveira. The Seir Avodah Zara, if somebody violates Avodah Zara. And then the two on Yom Kippur. So you have Kohen Gadol, and Kohen Gadol, Sanhedrin, Avodah Zara, and then the two of Yom Kippur. Those are the five Chatos Pnimios. And these three blot, Lamed Tes, Mem Aleph, discuss, how do we know by all of these Karbanos, that every Zrika is Ma'akev, and every Halacha that applies to one applies to the other one, that, and we had all the Limudim about interrelating these five Chatos. Good. After that, we got into the sugya of Rebbe Meir on Daf Mem Aleph Mabez. The Gemara got into if somebody thinks piggle, back to piggle now. The Gemara, again, the end of this second, third, and fourth paragraph all brings piggle back up. But the Gemara went into, Rabbi Meir has a shita that if you think piggle at the beginning, that's good enough. So is that at the beginning of an avoda process? Is that because he says you could be mefagel b'chatzi matir? Right, that was a yisod, a principle that came up. You don't have to think about piggle throughout the process, only about part of it. Or do we say it's based on the principle of no? It's as if you thought about it the whole time. Kol ha'osel das rishona hu oseh. And that was the sugya daf mem aleph mabez, and daf mem beis, that comes up by tzitzis, that comes up by get, just to say, l'shem it's a tzitzis, you have to say that every second. So we discussed what was the basis for that, and then we got into hardcore piggle again on daf mem beis mabez. These elu dvarim, what items are subject to piggle, what items are not subject to piggle, the rule being, as the Mishnah said on daf mem gimel amud aleph, piggle only applies by something that has matirin. When something else is matirit, that's when pickle could be described. If it is a matir, or if it doesn't need a matir, so then there is no pickle. There's no pickle by dam, there's no pickle by ketores, there's no pickle by a number of those items. Reb Shimon Shita was quoted on Daf Mem Gimel. Reb Shimon has the big limit on pickle, that pickle is only by items that are on the outer mizbeach. Because the source of pickle is shlamim, and therefore it has to be like shlamim in order to be chayiv mishum pigel. The Gemara Daf Mem Gimel, Amud Aleph, Amud Beis discuss, could pigel ever be removed? What if pigel was brought on top of the mizbeach? That's a ninth parak topic. But that's what the Gemara discussed here on Daf Mem Gimel. Is it paka me'al gabi ha-mizbeach? That's what the Gemara went into, and then the Gemara got into a little bit also related. What about a tameh item that goes up in the mizbeach? And once we talk about tameh, we spoke about different types of tumah. Tumas meis, tumas sheretz. Remember the Sefer Chinuch we did in mitzvah kuf nun tes that spoke about tumah and tara is beyond our asaga, but we have to realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's good for us, and he gave us all of those halachos. That was on Daf Mem Dav. Daf Mem Hei, which was Shabbos' daf last week, spoke about non-Jews. This is also related to pigel, but it spoke about non-Jews karbanis. Are they subject to pigel? So a non-Jew could only bring an ola. Is there subject to pigel? The Mishnah said no. Ein chayav leim shem pigel nosav atameh, and that was Reb Shimon, Reb Yossi is bechayiv. So we went into then this daf. What about non-Jewish karban, non-Jews karbanos, and also the relationship between these three types of psulim. Pigel, Nosar, and Tameh, which will come up, that those topics will come up again in the Masechta. But the parak continued with Pigel, that even though certain items might not be Chayav Mishum Pigel, but Nosar and Tameh can exist. Because remember, Pigel has the most stringent, restricted rules. It has to have a Matir, you have to have Yakar Matir Kimitzvaso, all these rules about Pigel that exist, but that do not exist by Nosar and Tameh. So that brought us through till Memvav Amibes. Right? Memvav Amibes is just about Dam. That Dam is not subject to Pigol. So we said Dam is not subject to other things also. There's no Me'ila, there's no Cup, there's no other things. But then we got all the way till Memvav Amibes, which brought us full circle. Memvav Amibes brought us back to Dav Beis. Memvav is all about L'shem Shisha Dvarim HaZevach Nizbach, the six things that a Kohen has to think about during the Avoda, the right Karban, the right owner, V'chulu. Some of these are Ma'akev, some of these are not Ma'akev. What is each one excluding? The Gemara discussed, you have to shechel L'shem Hashem, you have to shechel that it's going to be burned in the Mizbeach, and not burned before it gets to the Mizbeach, V'chulu. The Sugya of Misase came up on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, on top, because that has to do with thoughts. If I'm not thinking anything, I'm misasik, the top line. I think, what does misasik mean? Rashi says it means that I don't even think I'm doing an action. I throw a knife and I shecht. Tosa says, that's for sure a problem. Tosa says, no, you think you're doing an act of killing, but you don't think you're doing the mitzvah of shechita. But how much kavana do I need? Again, this last blot has to do with what we discussed all the way at the beginning. And then, of course, we discussed on Daf Mem Zayin the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi, who said that even the owner could think pigel. So we had the question of the Gevura Shmonim, the question with 80 answers. If the owner could think pigel, so why can every woman who is a potential sota think pigel to be mafaga the carbon, and therefore there will never be an isha sota? With all the answers that we had from Rabbi Yosef Engel, again, this was really a unit that we have relating to zvachim, and then the fifth and sixth paragraph is a new world. As we started a couple days ago, it's all about types of karbanos, avodas of karbanos, and But hopefully some of the principles that we have laid out in the first four prakim will come back and stand by us as we continue our trek through Kachim and Zvachim. So, fulfill the Chavetz Chaim, we're trying to do our best here. We're trying to get our feet wet and maybe even jump in to the Masechta and Kachim. And Bezrat Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless our efforts and make it L'maisa. Make it L'maisa, Bezrat Hashem.